Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Julio Diaz is our movie reporter, reviewer of sorts. He's our guy. He hosts the Pensacola Movie Club on Thursday nights. You watch a movie, you talk about it. He founded that, and that's been going on for years and years. And he also hosts Let's Go Pensacola, heard Saturdays here on this station at 4 o'clock. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
The Joker next movie. I don't want to say this silly title. Joker 2.
Well, I mean, it's French. It's Joker Full of Deal. It's a proper title for it.
Well, we're American, so, you know. Even though I speak some French, so.
It's Joker Freedom Prize. That's
nicely done. Well done. And is it as good as the first? Is it a continuation? What is this to begin with? Is it just a sequel?
What it is a whole lot of garbage.
Oh.
Now okay. I was not a big fan of the first one either. I know that when it originally came out, it made a whole lot of money and had a lot of acclaim, had like 10 Oscar nominations. Of course, Joaquin Phoenix won an Oscar for the lead role in it. But I think that over time, the critical estimation of that film has gone down somewhat.
Okay.
Which I agree with. I just don't think it's a very good movie. I think it's a well-made movie and a well-acted movie, and but I think that Todd Phillips, the director and writer, basically is just on this like nihilistic trip of like I'm going to be a complete nihilist and I do it in the guise of remaking every like decent movie that ever came out in the 70s.
I gotcha.
The first one was very much a loose remake of Taxi Driver mixed with The King of Comedy. And this one it's got a lot of homages to a lot of other movies. But so you take that and then on top of that, let's make it a musical.
Look, even you would have to admit that what America needs now more than ever before is musical nihilism. You know, the belief that nothing matters, nothing's true, put to music that's awesome. That's good stuff. We need more of that.
I love musicals. I'm a big fan of the genre, but this is almost an anti-musical. This is, you know, in a good musical, the music is going to either drive the story and or reveal things about the characters. In this movie, every time a song starts, this movie just grinds to a halt. It is just, and I mean, it's not the fault of anybody in it. It's a great cast waste. It's not just Joaquin Phoenix, but Lady Gaga. Brendan Gleeson, Catherine Keener, you know, fantastic actors. But it's just, I hope there's not another one.
So we always wind up running out of time. Let's get to the other movies. Monster Summer?
Yeah, just kind of a small throwback movie. It's actually directed by David Henry, who is a FenceCon guest next year. He's better known for Wizards of Waverly Place. He was the male lead on that and is going to be in the new series. The sequel series is getting ready to start. It's also famously the son on How I Met Your Mother that is being told the story to you throughout the entire
series. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So this is kind of like a kid's adventure movie where, you know, these kids team up with a retired cop because there's something supernatural going on in their neighborhood. Kind of a throwback to like Goonies kind of film.
Okay. I gotcha.
Reviews are not great. They're 50% on Rotten.
Okay, right. So you can just watch Goonies again or Stranger Things or something like that. Okay, what about White Bird?
This is the best reviews of the week, which is a little bit of faint praise because it's only in the 70s. But this is the obligatory, we're getting close to Oscar season, so we've got to have some kind of movie that has something to do with the Holocaust coming out. You've got a
obligatory annual Holocaust movie. Best in category by Julio Diaz. Go on.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a story of a young man who's having trouble in school and he is told the story by his grandmother about growing up during the Holocaust. And
okay.
So there's a lot of flashbacks to that.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, okay reviews on this one.
What are you guys going to watch next week?
There's actually a lot of good stuff coming out next week, so we've got a lot of choices. The one I'm most looking forward to is Saturday Night, which is the dramatization of the
SNL.
90 minutes before the first episode of SNL.
Okay.
Which I'm very much looking forward to, but there's a lot of other good stuff out next week, too, so we've got some heavy choices to make.
And you have a thing coming up. Is it tomorrow? Is that right?
Yeah, tomorrow and Sunday, we've got Halloween Fest coming up. This is PenceCon's annual Halloween event. This is a fun event, free for the whole family. It is very much, I've said to a couple of people, it's more Beetlejuice and less Nightmare on Elm Street. This is not a horror convention. It is a fun, spooky season event for the whole family. Kids can trick or treat. We have a free gift for the first 50 kids every day. Convention style atmosphere. We've got some great guests, including Austin St. John, the original Red Power Ranger, and Ryan Drummond, the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh.
We've got a great charity auction going on for the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Northwest Florida. And we'll have costume contests each day, lots of live music, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And where?
At Splash City Adventures in Pensacola on US 29.
And what time?
10 to 6 on Saturday and 10 to 5 on Sunday.
There you go. Sounds like a lot of fun. Julio Diaz, again, you can listen to him on Saturday. Well, I guess tomorrow you got Let's Go Pensacola at 4 o'clock because you also got the event going on.
Well, actually, we're off for FSU football.
Oh, okay. Well, preempted for other reasons. Okay. And then the Pensacola Movie Club, of course, he founded that. You can follow them on Facebook. Julio, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the community fun tomorrow and Sunday. And we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Accidents are starting to pop up. We've got a vehicle crash with roadblock on Cody Lane and East Johnson Avenue, and that's going to be causing you some delays there. If you are on I-10 eastbound right around mile marker 7, which is right past the Pine Forest exit, we've got an accident there. It's off to the side of the road, but it's still causing delays through that construction zone. Other than that, traffic's rolling good for the most part. Be careful out there. It's slick.
It's very rainy.
Yeah, rainy. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
I have tickets for the opening night for the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra. This is tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Sanger Theater. Rachmaninoff, Prokofiev, Bernstein. And you can win and go if you are caller number 2 right now. 437-1620, 437-1620.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, this Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax. Enjoy the beautiful sunset with your favorite bands. This Tuesday, it's the Knee Deep Band, a high-energy variety show band with something to please all ages. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with the Knee Deep Band.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the West Point, Virginia Public School Board for paying former high school teacher Peter Vlaeming over $500,000 to settle a wrongful termination lawsuit he filed after they fired him for refusing to use a student's preferred pronouns. The 7-year French teacher claimed that being terminated for refusing to refer to a transgender student as male when he was identified female at birth was a violation of his constitutional religious rights, and the Virginia Supreme Court agreed with him. During class, Vlaeming avoided the issue by only referring to the young man in gender-neutral or circumlocutory ways so that he would neither have to say his true now gender nor say the gender of his birth, thus coyly trying to avoid the issue entirely. But as you all learned in your preliminary Wokeolite training, silence is violence. And anything other than openly and fully endorsing a person's current gender of the moment is a very serious gender crime, and Vlaeming got fired for the word violence he engaged in. Now, of course, we also lay heavy blame on the court for siding with him, inexplicably. But really, it's the school board who deserves the blame because they gave up the fight. They could have appealed to the United States Supreme Court. They could have dragged their feet on paying. They could have done all sorts of things to fight this outrageously transphobic, dead-naming, misgendering fascist and his blatantly money-grabbing lawsuit. But of course now, other backwards and repressive teachers everywhere will feel emboldened to inflict similar psychological torture on their students by using no pronouns at all, because the West Point Public School Board caved and rewarded this outrageously non-inclusive behavior. So yes, the Virginia Supreme Court and Peter Vlaeming get our disapproval, but the school board gets the total boot. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, Margaret Brennan, the host of Face the Nation, for her bumbling and counterproductive performance as co-moderator of this week's vice presidential debate. Now, normally we would give Margaret a pass. She's been a consistent ally of our cause, especially during COVID. And of course, as a female host of a Sunday morning network TV news show, she officially has immunity level 3B. But of course, this is not immunity level 4, 5, or 6, the latter of which we reserve for the truly untouchable, such as Kamala Harris, Michelle Obama, and George Clooney. Let's start with the most obvious of Brennan's virtue sins: the hard-nosed fact check of Tim Walz over his false claim that he was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square protests in 1989, which, of course, he was not.
Many times I will talk a lot. I will get caught up in the rhetoric.
Now, yes, he obviously lied, but precisely because this is known, it was horribly wrong of Brennan to point it out by direct questioning and following up and asking again when he didn't answer the first time.
I've not been perfect, and I'm a knucklehead at times.
Unacceptable. But it was worse than that, because at a later moment in the debate, when talking about gun control, one of our five holy policy positions, Walz made one of the worst gaffes of the entire evening.
Become friends with school shooters. I've seen it.
Oh, dear. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Now, obviously, what he meant was that he had become close to the victims of school shooters, and any reasonable person would have understood that. But instead of letting the gaffe metastasize into a viral meme as it did, Brennan should have recognized the danger and nipped it in the bud by stopping the debate and asking him gently if that's really what he meant to say, poor fella, since he had clearly become rattled by the bright lights and the pretty girls and the empty auditorium, and she should have helped the cause by calming him down and holding his hand while he got himself uncaught from all the rhetoric. But the real virtue sin was early on in the debate when Margaret fact-checked J.D. Vance for something he said that was actually correct, smugly tried to move on, and then cut off Vance's mic when he tried to clarify his position.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The CBP one app has not been on the books.
This is 1990. It's something that Kamala Harris created for.
Gentlemen, the audience can't hear you because your mics are cut.
To be clear, we have no problem with any of this in principle. The problem was the horribly clumsy way she did it. It was so obvious and inartful, especially after CBS had agreed to not conduct in-debate fact checks, that she left herself exposed to criticisms of bias and even made people feel sympathy for Vance. Come on, girl! You know you have to at least put on a show of impartiality, and it was the utter ineptitude of this interaction which requires us to chastise her out of the fold. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, our strongest praise this week is for the New York Times and its delightful decision to publish the opinion piece by their nonfiction book critic, Jennifer Zelay, entitled The Constitution is sacred. Is it also dangerous? She makes several important points about the anti-democratic flaws of the Constitution, such as that a person can be president without a majority of the consent of the governed, or that the Supreme Court can strike down a woman's right to make her own health care choices when the three key justices making that decision were only confirmed by senators representing 44% of the U.S. electorate. But the real power in her piece is the way she explains that the entire framework of the Constitution is not some neutral, objective, apolitical compromise, but in fact embodies extremism and repression masquerading as fairness and historical objectivity. Just ask yourselves, if the Constitution were really neutral and an originalist reading of it didn't take sides, why do Republicans so vehemently defend it and Democrats so eagerly criticize it? Just because a bunch of dead people 235 years ago made a deal, why should that bind us today? What she points out is that the so-called originalism is really just a form of constitution worship aimed at the writings of a bunch of repressive old white male bigots from a long time ago who certainly don't share our values today. She's so right. Instead of thinking of the Constitution as a binding agreement on the rules of a republic that has stood the test of time and been the envy of the world, Zelaya and the New York Times are saying it's time to stop being the oldest constitutional republic and start over. If we can't win within the most stable political system in history, it's time to overthrow it. Quit pretending we can ever use the current mechanisms for change to make the really dramatic change we need. Stop honoring the political hand-me-downs of a bunch of dead white homophobic racist misogynists, and let's start from scratch, since revolution is the only way to really establish just and stable governments, as so many revolutions have proven in the last century. So down with the Constitution and up with Jennifer Zelaya and the New York Times and their call for upheaval. Viva la revolution! Si se puede! Liberté, égalité, sororité! Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Refreshments this week are provided by, if you can't beat them, join them. Makers of fine adult beverages created from only the highest quality fermented beet juice. Jamie and Mark's brilliant thought experiment was, why make wine out of grapes when you can be more inclusive of all the fruits and vegetables for your alcoholic delicacies, starting with beets? Whether it's their red beet Beaujolais, their sugar beet Chardonnay, or their golden beet borscht spritzer, you just know it's going to taste every bit as earthy as the dirt those beets were grown in. If you can't beat them, join them. You can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
So I'm weirdly super proud of silence is violence, and yet also I feel like I've contributed ammunition to the other side's chant vocabulary. John Pickens got traffic for us. John?
That's right. Still dealing with that accident on I-10 eastbound right around mile marker number 7. It's off to the side of the road, but it's still causing some delays through that construction zone. Let's see here. West Fairfield Drive and Mobile Highway. We've got an accident there with roadblocks, so just be careful through that area if you're on Mobile Highway. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
I should probably trademark silence is violence and then sue anybody who uses it on a placard. Oh, man. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home and you want to know whether now is the right time or not the right time, or that's the good location or a bad price, or, you know, there's one of the big things about selling a home, particularly the selling side and buying too, but selling especially, is like it's such a process and you don't know what's normal and you don't know what to ask for. You don't know what to say yes to or say no to. And like one of the things is the way insurance has changed lately. And we didn't know this. It's just amazing. You know, listen to Christine Leavenworth talk about it. It's fascinating. But, you know, home insurance right now, you can get dropped for any reason. If the roof is too old or the water heater is not new enough or the AC or there's rust around your plumbing and stuff. Like, it's crazy. So when somebody's buying your home, they might say, hey, that's an 11-year-old roof. I need you to replace that for, you know, $15,000 or $20,000. And you're like, what? Well, is that normal? Ask a realtor. Ask Christina Leavenworth. They know what's going on. They know what's normal. They know what people are offering and what they're not offering and what they're saying yes to. And so it's just having that confidence that you're not getting taken advantage of is why you have a great realtor to guide you, who's done it a lot. 175 homes sold last year, 122 homes sold as of about 3 or 4 weeks ago this year. So they know what's common because they, you know, they take care of so many transactions. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Amazon says they're getting ready for the holiday season by hiring more employees, a lot more employees. The online retailer says they're looking to hire 250,000 people nationally for full-time, part-time, and seasonal jobs. The Israeli military has been striking Hezbollah targets in Beirut overnight. Israeli officials say those airstrikes are targeting a militant leader they believe will be taking over for Hezbollah chief Hassan Nasrallah. And the late Otis Redding is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today. The King of Soul, who died in 1967, gets his star this morning on Hollywood Boulevard. His daughter, Carla Redding, accepting on his behalf.
Oh, that's great. David, thanks so much for the update. 8:30 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, by the way, one of the things I've been doing today, and if you just started listening at 8 o'clock, you didn't hear me, but there was a big congressional hearing last week over the Trump assassination. Tons of very interesting new information, very sobering stuff. I had been going through that extensively in the first 3 hours of the show. So if you don't listen to anything else on the podcast page, listen to the 7 o'clock hour, the first segment there. But all day I've been covering that. So this is why you go to newsradio923.com and check out the podcast.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Ships stacked up at ports from Texas to Maine moving this morning with a longshoreman agreeing to suspend their strike for 90 days to negotiate a better wage offer from the ports, 62% over 6 years. President Biden says he hopes the deal holds. Presidential candidate Trump tells Fox,
they've been treated badly by Biden because of inflation. I mean, they caused inflation and it killed them. You know, it looks like they're asking for a lot, but they're really not asking for a lot because when you look at inflation, they end up being a net negative.
Trump on a second hurricane relief visit with Georgia's governor today. The September jobs report surged unexpectedly, 100,000 jobs more than forecast, and the unemployment rate fell 1/10, so the chance of a Fed half-point interest rate cut is dwindling. A federal judge in Missouri put a hold on any widespread cancellation of student debt from the Biden-Harris administration. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Rainy, 75 degrees this morning in Pensacola. The Gulf Breeze doctor that's been under a lengthy investigation now facing two first-degree murder charges. 72-year-old Dr. Elaine Sharp was arrested on a Santa Rosa County warrant yesterday. No details have been released on those charges. Sharp's office was previously raided by authorities after she'd been found to be improperly prescribing controlled substances. She had been prescribing opioids for opioid addiction and pain management treatment. An order said Sharp issued more than 3,000 of those prescriptions between August of 2021 and August of 2022. She's currently being held in the Escambia jail, awaiting an extradition to Santa Rosa County. There is an update on Wednesday's shooting near Fairfield Drive in Escambia County. The victim of that shooting has died. Family members identified the victim as Walter Lee McQueen Dukes. The shooting happened on John Street off of Old Fairfield. The sheriff's office says there's no suspects in custody and investigation continues. The Gulf Coast VA now offering telehealth emergency room services for veterans. Vets that use VA healthcare can call their local VA clinic and press 3 on the menu. That will connect them to the virtual emergency room. The VA says this will offer some of the same services you could receive in traditional emergency room settings, but without the long wait times or exposure to other illnesses. The VA says you can use the telehealth emergency room for cold, flu, or COVID symptoms, sore throats, COPD or asthma issues, infections, minor reactions, and UTIs and sprains. But for more serious issues, you should still go to the normal emergency room. A Baldwin County teacher has been placed on administrative leave after an arrest for public intoxication. Police say Glenn Ray was arrested on Wednesday. He's listed as a theater teacher, Baldwin County High School. The school district there confirming Ray was placed on leave but has not commented on the arrest. A group of young men graduated from the latest Sheriff's Blazers Academy earlier this week. The ceremony was held at the Sanger Theater on Tuesday. Sheriff Chip Simmons says the people in the program spent 6 weeks learning general life skills, like properly shaking someone's hand, putting on a tie, how to present yourself. He says they're also looking at another program that would offer more advanced help.
Let's have an advanced class. Let's go a little bit farther than that. In fact, we're going to look into doing that next year.
Sheriff Simmons tells News Radio that programs that offer mentorship are greatly needed in Escambia County. The Blazers Academy has graduated now 6 classes of young men and 3 classes of young women. Each class has between 25 and 50 people in it. Well, President Biden says they are making progress as recovery efforts continue after Helene.
FEMA teams are knocking, literally knocking on doors to register folks so they can receive assistance to buy what they urgently need.
The president was in Valdosta, Georgia yesterday and said that the direct assistance program for hurricane victims will cost the U.S. billions of dollars. He's calling on Congress to ensure the affected states have the resources they need. And in Tallahassee today, they're celebrating their past. A new ribbon-cutting ceremony being held today to unveil a life-size replica of the state's first Capitol building. The replica log cabin was built by 100 volunteers in honor of the city's bicentennial. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John.
That's right. We have a couple of accidents with roadblock. The first one's Cody Lane and East Johnson Avenue. Seeing some delays there. And then we roll over to Fairfield Drive and Mobile Highway. The roadway is blocked there, so be careful of that. And also, if you're on Burgess Road going east and westbound, you're going to see some major delays associated with that on Burgess Road heading to or from Highway 29. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We will see plenty of rain today with a 60% chance of showers. Constant light rainfall through most of the day with a high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Saturday, rain chances drop, but we will still have the clouds around. 20% chance of rain with breezy conditions out of the east. High on Saturday near 84 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 69. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we do have 75 degrees across the area. We have some rain across the area as well this morning. Your money now this morning. Our markets are up today. The Dow's up 250 points at 42,262. The S&P up 45 points at 5745. The NASDAQ up 216 points at 18,134. Bond rates up just a bit at 3.95%. Gold prices are down 940 at 26,6980. Silver prices up 20 cents at 32.26, and Bitcoin up 880.18 at 61,709.50. The dock worker strike along the Gulf and East Coasts is coming to an end today. The International Longshoremen's Association returning to work after hitting the picket lines on Tuesday. This comes after the union and management groups reached a tentative deal on wages last night. The September jobs report beat expectations by a considerable amount. Numbers released today from the Labor Department show 254,000 new jobs created last month. That's compared to the 140 that most analysts had predicted. And another recall notice for the Tesla Cybertruck, this one involving problems with their rearview camera. The filing with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration suggests that the image may be delayed and reduce the driver's view of what's behind them. A violation of safety standards, the recall affecting 27,000 Cybertrucks. 8:37, our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Next time on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
State Representative Michelle Saltzman joins us live Friday 4:20. We'll discuss her effort to collect relief supplies for the Big Bend residents. And that tropical system tracking into the Gulf is targeting a potential Florida Peninsula landfall. Local news, traffic, and the five-day forecast.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 till 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody jump! Jump, jump, jump.
I said a hip hop, the hip, the hip, the hip, hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. It's a chance for us to hang out and talk with, in this case, a friend. I have another friend on the way. There's only two of them that we know of.
So, that's on a good day.
That's, well, yeah. When people are feeling charitable to me and they haven't listened to me lately. Travis Peterson is a good friend, and he is here in the studio with us. Craig Heinzman is on his way. Drive safely, Craig, if you're listening. It's raining. It's bad. So we talk about the things of the week that have happened and, you know, it's kind of, you know, rehash the stuff that's been in the news this week. I did want to talk for just a second. He's here. Look at that. What timing. Outstanding. I'll put his mic up. There we go.
What's up, everybody?
What is that hat you're wearing, though? That looks vaguely like a New York Yankees logo that somebody's taken a Thor hammer to.
So remember the team that came, the Sultanos? They came for the Wahoos game?
Yeah.
This is the Sultanos hat.
It looks like New York Yankees iconography,
it's
even though it's clearly
not. It's
supposed
to a little bit because they've been around as long as the Yankees, apparently, in Mexico.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool.
Well, it's a very cool hat, but it makes me uncomfortable. So, you know, I feel anxiety.
I'm not wearing my Auburn hat.
What are the words I'm supposed to say? I feel anxiety. I feel
Triggered? It's hard to say war eagle these days, but we're going to say it anyway.
Oh,
demure, mindful. Yeah. Demure.
Are you an Auburn fan, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the three of us.
Well, that's why we're all wearing black and dark clothes today. We're all wearing dark clothes today.
I know. Nobody's. I was wearing an Auburn shirt last night, and people were giving me heck.
We have a lot of knowledge and no expectations. That's pretty much the.
So the debate was big news this week. Tim Walz and J.D. Vance having their hash of it. Let me. I'll go to you straight, Travis, because you're a well-known documented liberal.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it's publicly known.
In certain
you don't
circles,
hide it.
Yeah.
What did you who did you think won? If you had to grade it a win loss, who won?
Oh yeah, I'd give the edge to Vance. He was just came off as a sort of more accomplished debater. Walz had a slow start, but kind of got into it. Very different styles, but again, how many people are going to change their mind based on a debate?
I think all of them. Yeah. I mean, all 330 million Americans were waiting to decide who to vote for
because of the vice presidential debate.
That's
I'm just glad they didn't talk about people being weird or eating pets. Like, those were my two, either a drinking game or it was actually a very sort of reasonable debate.
It was remarkably zinger free.
It was an actual debate as someone who came through communications or communications as a major.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you have a debate, it's recently. I'm going. It's not gonna be. It's not gonna follow any debate rules. It's not gonna.
I could teach you a seminar on how to debate properly as this being the counterexample.
Exactly.
But this one was actually quite good.
Debate, and so it was great to see some of the folks afterwards saying if we were judging this by debate standards,
correct,
they would give the edge to Vance, and I'm like. Because we can judge it by debate standards.
Because previously, you just want to say, well, they both didn't even qualify.
Correct.
So do you feel like it harmed Kamala Harris's chances, or do you feel like there's nobody much that it doesn't matter to anybody? I said in advance, this is the most meaningless academic exercise that we're going to talk about in the media for a couple of days because nobody cares.
I think that's right. You know, the presidential election is going to come down to 70,000 voters spread across 5 or 6 or 7 states.
Yeah, pretty much.
Those folks aren't watching vice president debates. They're getting their kids to school. They're going to church prayer meetings. They're, making sure they can pay the bills. They're working their second job. They're going to walk into the ballot box and see who they like at that day.
Democracy is such a beautiful
thing. I think it's important. I think it'll be important for 2028. I don't know that it's going to be important for this.
Yeah, yeah, fair.
Neither one hurt their chances for something in the future.
Yeah, I think... So Tim Walz started so badly, but I think he pulled it around, and by the end he was cooking if people were still watching. Large viewership, by the way. A lot of people did watch the debate.
They did, yeah.
I think that, they were downplaying expectations for him, and I think that was probably a smart thing given that he had a bit of that deer in the headlights kind of sometimes. Everybody kind of expected J.D. Vance to not be good, and he was so... mocked and ridiculed and lampooned ahead of time by, MSNBC particularly, that when he shows up and is just not bad, he does well. But he showed up with composure and clarity, he didn't react, and he didn't do any eyeliner. What's that?
Yeah.
No eyeliner. Right.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
But he, those eyes do pop on that blue background, though. I mean, who can't take away.
Who couldn't notice that, right?
Piercing. So didn't probably hurt either of them going forward. Did provide a reminder that it is possible to have a civil debate. I think probably the most hurt person in that debate was Margaret Brennan. She suffered the worst of it.
Yeah.
But just self-inflicted.
Yeah, I do think that we have to get to a place where our moderators can be moderators. And that's one of the big things that I think the American public, by and large, is just sick of.
There's something so... I don't know, arrogant about, just for the facts, here's the thing that it's a slippery slope if you start fact checking. It is, because when do you interject?
You don't fact check everybody equally.
Correct.
And there are going to be non-factual statements.
You can't know
sides.
It all, yeah.
And
there's gradations between, misspeaking, I'm friends with school shooters or whatever, and then something that's patently false. So, you know, it's you can the moderator could spend the whole debate just correcting nuances here and there. So
but eventually, AI will do the whole debate.
Oh God, let's get, we'll get to that in a second.
So
I actually want to talk about the I became friends with the school shooters. If you've listened to the show and my coverage of the debate the day after, I didn't play that clip. You know, and I think every other conservative outlet in the universe played that clip 85 times. And you know what I said is, it's a gaffe. And if gaffes were his thing, which they were not, he's a pretty good speaker, maybe you play it, you know, maybe you have fun with it. But it clearly what he meant was, I've become friends with many victims of school shooting, many families. And give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Don't be the jerk. You know, be better than that. I was surprised. I was watching, he was at some, I don't know, restaurant or a donut shop or something, and they asked him what he thought of the debate. He self-graded, and he said, well, I did okay in the end especially. And then they asked him, you know, what did you mean by I became friends with school shooters? And he doesn't answer, and he pretends that they're not there, which makes him look terrible. And then somebody else said, what did you mean by that? And I thought, are you guys deliberately dumb? I mean, who cares? I mean, it's one thing if he's doing a press conference. Could you clarify whatever? Mm-hmm. But it was so obvious what he meant that it was not even fair to get him on the gaffe to me.
Well, but the bigger issue for him in terms of being prepared is that he has not been in press situations. They've not put him out there enough to give him the ability to self-censor. Because we all get into emotion and we're starting to go somewhere and then
we all let the rhetoric get away from us sometimes.
We skip a word in something.
Yes.
Right? And some people have the gift and some people don't, right? Like, that's the other piece. You can coach a lot of this, but there are some, you know, I mean, Joe Biden's been a gaffe machine his whole career,
I make mistakes. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I made some comment about Jimmy Carter. And I actually said Joe Biden. And it wasn't until a minute later I went back and said, I said Joe Biden, didn't I? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like,
did you put
what?
A little star before you said that?
Edit the text. Well done.
Edit the text.
Nice callback, Craig. Way to go. That was a frivolous topic we did earlier.
They're of the same century. So, I mean, it's
fair enough. They are. We're talking to Craig Heinzman and Travis Peterson here in studio for The Wrap. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. One accident to let you know about. Vehicle crash with roadblock on West Fairfield Drive and Mobile Highway. Roadway is blocked there, so just make sure that you pack some time around that one and take an alternate route. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So you mentioned deepfakes, Craig, and
I mentioned AI.
You mentioned AI. Right. Did either of you happen to see the picture of Donald Trump in the water in his jeans?
So courageous.
After
so courageous
Helene,
and brave.
Yeah, that's absolutely 100% AI generated.
Oh
deepfake.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's completely okay. So he's got the claw hand that you get from AI. He's not wet, even though he's in the middle of the water. He wasn't wearing those clothes earlier in the day. That's completely fake.
Now I have to.
I cannot tell you how many of my people on Facebook were like, Facebook is censoring this photo of the courageous president in the water. I'm like, you imbecile. It's so obvious.
Blue jeans absorb water.
Yeah, some fakes, some pictures AI generated are easier to spot than others.
Right.
This was so obviously fake, and yet these people are not just posting it sincerely. They're complaining about how Facebook is censoring a fake photo that, I mean, help.
It's scary.
It is, though, because, like, even that, you see the picture of the little girl holding the dog? I think it's the girl, looks like, and it's a heartbreaking photo.
Yeah.
I think that's fake. There's a couple of questions about that photo have been asked, and it's one of those photos that's so perfect.
Yeah,
that you got to kind
of
wonder.
Especially in the midst of
in the midst of all the
like
other
that.
Stuff, does that look like a real photo, or is that too good to be real? And I don't know. We live in an environment. That's the one. Yeah.
Okay. And I haven't seen it.
We live in an environment where it's going to be AI is the worst it's ever going to be, right? Like, the claw hand problem is going to go away.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the AI is going to get smarter
as we speak.
Right.
It's getting better
because it is. If you look at a lot of the AI generated photos, they are ridiculously good.
Better. Yeah. Oh gosh!
And
yes.
they're not all obviously fake,
right?
Much like facts, much like things that someone says. Now we cannot just believe a picture.
Yeah.
Used to be we cannot just believe it because you said it,
right?
We have to find the data that backs that up. Now we can't believe it because we see it, because what we see
or
is
hear
not,
it with the voice simulators
or hear it. The Justin Bieber Diddy song, "I Lost My Soul at a Diddy Party" or something of that nature that went around. I was like, that's. Have I never heard that before?
They're even making music.
Because it did not exist.
Because it's not real.
Yeah. That's why.
Yeah. Michael Jackson and like the Beatles.
And here's the thing. So I don't know about you, but I know for me, I'm always like checking my own, like when I say something, I'm 90% sure that's true. And I'll go look it up right away. Okay, so we have lost our collective institutional knowledge of facts.
Yes.
Because we've gotten used to being able to look everything up online. We don't have to know who the star is. We just look up IMDb. You know, we don't have to know any. And so in a world where the internet is our memory and the internet is now the source of error and fraud and fakery, how do we know anything or prove anything?
Well, at least you're fact-checking some of this stuff. The bigger thing to me is how many folks just take this, share it, send it out, run with it, accept it as fact. What was the Mark Twain slogan? Lie can get halfway around the world before the truth can put its pants on.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty frightening. And then, you know, just the other day, you see issues with kids taking pictures of other kids and using AI to...
Websites designed to let you do that.
Oh, yes. Absolutely
so
correct.
So disgusting.
Absolutely correct.
Thank God, I don't get to say this very often, but thank God San Francisco lawyers are pushing back and suing.
it's really troublesome.
I think that's the only time I've ever heard you say
it's probably
God.
The only time in my
San
life
Francisco,
I've ever said
I just recorded it. I'm going to download that part of the podcast.
No, wow. It's really difficult, but we have to be ever vigilant about making that research happen in our own lives for every single and calling it out when we see it with our friends. Say, hey guys, I love you. I support Donald Trump. You know, I think he's gone to the disaster. He's there right now again. Great. He has been there.
That much is true.
So we can get those pictures and put those up. Take the one you have on there down. It's not real. And we got to be willing to tell people that and have those uncomfortable conversations and even sometimes get into the fight because people are unwilling to think that they're wrong, which is...
So a lot of times on the show, I criticize Trump, right? Criticize Republicans because I think it needs to be done. And I have an audience that's more leans that way, although we get a lot of, you know...
Sure.
I got at least four people like Travis to listen to me.
At least
libs.
Four.
And repping for the libs.
But I've, you know, what have we always said, right? The Baptists need to correct the Baptists, and the Muslims need to correct the Muslims, and the conservatives need to correct the conservatives.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely correct.
I feel like it's more my duty than MSNBC or CNN, you know, because my audience, you know? So something like that, I feel like I'm obliged to correct that.
Well, I would tell you that I am in support of the Republican Party, whatever the Trump ticket, because I'm, you know, I've always said kind of, you know, by there's another third way at this moment in time. But that's one of the things that we've been so reticent to do is to say, hey, listen, some things are just bad, not true. They doesn't look good. You know, I was when the whole eating cats and dogs things, I'm like, can we just. What are we doing?
Yeah. Are we criticizing? Are we leaning into it?
The Republican governor of Ohio says, mm-mm.
right.
Oh, then maybe everybody stop talking about it. Stop posting the pictures. Stop. Because those are, again, AI pics of people.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, it's, other stuff that I wanted to talk about with you guys. We've had a conversation all this week about driver's ed, switching gears. And the conversation has been, is it taught enough? And now what I'm learning is two things. Not enough kids go through driver's ed at all.
Correct.
That's Michelle Salzman's, you know, advocating for kind of mandatory if you're going to get a license under 18. And there's a lot of nuance to that, like how are homeschool kids going to adapt to that and so forth. Okay. And people who can't afford it if it's in the summer, you know, a lot of it's free. But even the ones who are going through it, and it's only like somewhere between 15 and 30% even take any driver's ed. But the ones who are taking it, they're sometimes only in the classroom with no driving.
Or online.
Or they're driving but just on a closed course, which is what Escambia does. And they're not, like in Santa Rosa, they don't even do that, apparently. And nobody goes on the street. And I'm like, how can you have driver's ed when you're not on the street? I think all three of us are old enough to have two-pedal driven.
Yes.
You know, brake for the passenger and brake for the driver, because that's how the instructor stops you from doing something stupid. That was the most valuable driver training I had. And you're telling me that nobody's getting that, and very few people are getting anything. That's not safe, right?
Yeah, you know, I think we've got teenage kids about the same age. I don't know about you, Craig, but yeah, I mean, 16. My son, yeah, okay, you're in the middle of it then. You know, my son took an online driver's ed course, which is not the same as an in-class and is not the same as behind the wheel.
Right.
But he couldn't work the the in class into his schedule, right? So driver's ed taught me a whole lot of what to do and what not to do.
And experience is everything in driving.
Yeah.
Watching the people try to cross the road and seeing the signs.
They're responsible these days anyway. I think that the parents could really do a good job of, we have so much time. I'm just joking. I can't drive well. Okay, so I surely can't teach my kids how to drive well.
Do you want your relationship with your teenager to survive?
My mom, right. Oh yeah, I remember my mom when I was driving. Holy cow!
So sorry, Tara. One thing about this that's is kind of interesting to me is because it's voluntary. You know, it's an elective. They don't have to do it. I've been amazed. My kids don't want to drive. Boys don't want to drive. You know, what I hear these days is that kids don't care.
They socialize on
correct. Social media. They don't go out to the kinds of places you would want to drive to. They probably car ride or line instead of the bus, so they don't need to escape the bus. You know, they get carted around everywhere they go, and so they've got that luxury already. Mom and dad are the Uber. I couldn't wait to get my driver's license, and my kids had to force them.
I know college students at UWF right now that do not have a driver's license.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
On campus right now.
It was such a rite of passage.
How are you 20 and you can't drive a car? How is this possible?
But maybe that's the safety valve answer to, well, it's scary that they're not taking driver's ed. Then again, they're not driving. So maybe it's okay.
I think if you're going to have a teen driver, we have to have a little bit more stringent rules.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once you get that learner's permit, it's basically like just here, sign this form. Okay, here, drive a vehicle around and endanger other people. Right. And if you're really.
And yourself.
Yeah. And yourself. And if you're not a parent who's super hyper vigilant on this stuff and focused, your kid's going to be doing some dumb things in a vehicle.
So I was responsible, had a job, took care of my business, decent, virtuous, right? There were a lot of other kids.
Yes, absolutely.
And I was an unsafe driver, and I was a dangerous driver.
Absolutely correct.
I'm going to take a quick break. Speaking of dangerous drivers, traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Still dealing with just that one accident on Fairfield Drive and Mobile Highway, the vehicle crash with the roadblock. So you definitely want to plan around that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. A couple of quick things I want to get in before we get out of here. I've been covering the hearings on the assassination attempts, and it's every time I just want to, I want to fire them all. I want to get rid of everybody.
I haven't listened to it today, so I'm going to go back and listen.
It's unbelievable. You had a representative who used to be a SEAL Team 3 sniper, and he testified. He said, whatever else you might take away from this, we've been incredibly lucky that these have been incompetent amateurs and not a coordinated attack by a foreign government, for example. But also, that location in Butler where Trump is going, he should not go. They cannot secure it. There are too many opportunities for somebody to do bad things there. He should not be going back there, and yet he's going back there tomorrow. Should he go back there? I mean, go to Pennsylvania. Yes, you got to win Pennsylvania. I get that. But go inside. The Secret Service cannot be counted on to protect anybody.
You do that at your own risk.
I think you do it at your own risk. I think he's going to do it because it's showing that I'm not afraid.
It's bravado.
It's the symbolism of it. I can get the symbolism of it. If you can't secure the location, then you're obviously putting yourself in harm's way, and you're doing it now. Now you're doing it at your own risk. There's no way they're going to, and I've got a friend who is a Secret Service agent on presidential detail right now, and I talked to him about this, and he goes, yeah, there were some big-time mess-ups. And I was like, okay. It was a pretty open space.
Yeah, it's a very open space. It's a very hard to secure space, and yet on top of that, they did everything wrong, or they did nothing right. That's maybe the way to say it. You want to talk about family purpose?
Well, some friends have mentioned it to me, and a church that I'm affiliated with is housing it. And Craig, you mentioned that your congregation may be looking at it too. It's a congregation based effort to house people who don't have housing. They provide temporary living space for people who are homeless, and
churches are doing the gospel.
I want to learn more about
it. In 2024, churches are doing the gospel.
About it, but it seems really. Strong
and
powerful.
I went and visited their center over there. It's down next to on Wright Street, next to
Methodist Church.
Methodist Church, yeah, First United Methodist, and it's a great program. And yes, they do house people in churches, especially right now. They're looking for churches that have parsonages that are no longer being used.
Oh,
that's the big thing,
right?
Housing in a campus on site for a church like ours is not going to work.
Yeah, it's
we not have
built
a daycare
for that.
That has open access. We can't.
Right.
We have to lock the building down, but we can partner in other ways, and it's an incredibly brilliant idea
it is.
To help homeless people through already established things, not let's, hey, reinvent the wheel. Let's a lot of budget money. It's easy.
We've got some space
family
or
promise.
At least an opportunity.
And organizations that are motivated to do right
in the
world.
I love it. And correct. It seems like it would fit, potentially might fit well with what the mayor's wanting to do with buying these sort of stormproof tiny huts. You know, that might be the place to put them is on some churches.
Yeah, and church that's lots. One of the options.
Craig Heinzman and Travis Peterson, thanks for the time, guys.